Amen. No matter what we try, no matter what we try to do to clean up, we're still filthy. But what can wash us white as snow? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. So having said that, I say this, you're not too dirty for the blood of Jesus. You're not too far gone that Christ can't save you and cleanse you and put you in the position of His. Amen. In His family, His child. Amen. Clean, declared righteous. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want you to go to Revelation chapter number 2. And while you're turning there to Revelation chapter number 2, do want to make mention, and if I miss anybody, I don't do that intentionally, but I do want to make mention of Preacher David's wife, Miss Kay. They go for a consultation tomorrow about the lesions on her brain. It may not be anything, but it may be. So let's really pray for them that God would intervene in that and help them in a special way. But LaVon and his treatments and all our church family that's been in the hospital, and our shut-ins. Let's don't forget our shut-ins. I didn't read over the prayer list today, but you that watch that are shut in, I want you to know we are praying for you. And if your name didn't get called out in prayer today, we don't do that intentionally. We're praying for you and thank God for you. Revelation chapter 2. It seems like the Lord's had me geared to the church today. This is nothing new, but it seems like this is where the Lord's planted my heart. And let's begin reading in verse number 1. Revelation 2. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We're so thankful for the reading of your word. Lord, I ask you to illuminate my mind tonight, in my heart, in my mouth. I ask you to put a hedge around this place, Lord, while we preach. Spirit of God, that Christ be exalted. We pray the power of God in this place right now, that you'd anoint us. And Lord, I ask you, dear God, to bless each need, spiritual, physical, emotional, financial, whatever the needs are. Lord, that we know that you're able to meet these needs in accordance to your will. And Lord, again, if there's one lost tonight, save them. One saved, but walking afar off, you'd bring them nigh unto you. And we give you praise for all you do for us. In the name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen and amen. I want to preach tonight on this thought, regaining our first love. Now, this is not a new text. Many preachers preach from it. I've preached from it a blue million times, but it's still truth. Amen. And, of course, we understand that we have the past in Revelation chapter number 1, and then we have the present in Revelation 2 and 3, the church age. But in Revelation 4 on to chapter 22, it is future. Now, I do believe we're about to wind down. I think we are in the Laodicea age. The church as a whole is lukewarm. I'm talking about God's people, not just a local church, but the church. We've grown lukewarm, and we're neither hot nor cold. Of course, Laodicea means rights of the people. Give me what I want. We have that mindset today, not only in the church, but also in the world, in the home. It's going to be about me. I'm going to be spotlighted, and I have a right. That's all we hear nowadays. I have rights. Folks, the most ignorant statement anybody can make is, give me what I deserve. That's the most ignorant statement. You say, why you mean? Because we all deserve hell. I'm glad I didn't get what I deserve. Had I got what I deserved, I'd be in hell when my back broke. Amen. And so therefore, don't say, I want what I deserve. Folks, we got mercy new every day. We don't deserve it. Grace every day, don't deserve it. The blood of Jesus cleanseth us. That means keeps us clean every day, and we don't deserve it. I'm going to heaven through Christ. I don't deserve it. Amen. So don't go around saying, it's not all about us. It's about him. Amen. So anyhow, we see the first church here mentioned. And the church of Ephesus, we know Paul, he labored there. And this church has, there's several things I want to mention quickly. Now, in verse 2 and 3, the Lord gives them compliments. He gives them compliments on their separation and their steadfastness. He said, I know thy works, thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. Remember, this is first century church. There were still apostles around. Now, I'm going to go ahead and say this. I don't care who puts that title in front of their name. God didn't give everybody apostles. He gave some apostles. And when John died on the Isle of Patmos, the days of apostles died. Amen. They died. God used them in his economy to get the church started, to spread the gospel of Christ, and he gave them apostolic power. And of course, I didn't preach this a million times for the unbelieving Jews. But the apostles that we read about in the Word of God, they're no more. Hey, they can put apostle in front of their name, and it means nothing. Amen. Folks, God gave some pastors, that's us. Amen. God gave some teachers, that's us. And so therefore, Ephesus is now, we see in the very first church age, the first century church, ever how you want to put that, they lived separated, and to put it lightly, they didn't put up with no junk. Amen. If he wasn't real and wasn't right, they didn't receive it. Amen. They didn't want any part of it. And their separation was steadfast and through hardship, and has borne, they're labored and has patience for my name's sake, and has labored and has not fainted. I mean, folks, he complimented them on their separation and on their steadfastness. They stayed the course. That's a church right there that ought to get a lot of praise. But the Lord said, nevertheless. See, they had separation, they had steadfastness, but they didn't have sincerity. They lost that. They left it, rather. He said, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Folks, that happens along the way. And we see the pattern that it happened with the people of Ephesus, and it happens with us. Amen. What do you mean? Folks, one battle after another. One fight after another. One struggle after another. Folks, I'm glad it is well with my soul. Amen. And my worst day as a Christian is still better than my best day as a lost man. But folks, as Paul said, that hey, he fought a good fight.
That's right.
You know what he said? I fought. And if you study his life on his missionary journeys, on his ministry, it was one battle after another battle. And if we're not careful, those battles drain our spirit so much that we don't compromise and we don't quit, but we don't have the sincerity and the love for doing it. Are you listening to me? Folks, I mean no harm by anything I'm saying. God knows my heart, but for the grace of God. But a lot of churches have quit. Sunday nights, Wednesday nights, they've quit that stuff because they're tired of fighting the battle. It's easy to give in to the rights of the people. They'll love me better, and it'll be easier. I won't have to put up with a bunch of fighting if we're not there. And the Lord told Ephesus, I have somewhat against thee. Thou hast left thy first love. See, the Lord desires and deserves the preeminence. Paul talked about that in the book of Colossians, that Christ should have and deserve the preeminence. What does that mean? The first place. If he's not loved first and loved greater than anything else, then he has a problem with that. In my life, oh Lord help me, and in your life, if he's not getting the preeminence, if he's not getting first place, hey, that means when church comes, show God how much you love him and go to his house. When it's prayer time, hey, take time to talk to him. Open the Bible, take time for him to talk. Hey, all this is simplicity, and we preach it, but yet it's the key that so improve our love for God. Amen. You remember when in the book of Ephesians, when Paul is dealing with Christ and the church, and he uses the marriage, the husband and wife, as a picture and a type or an analogy rather. And he told the husband to love his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Do you remember that? Amen. And he used that analogy as hey, you know what? If you want to see how much Christ loves us, it's not in the feelings, it's in the things he did. It's in the sacrifices that he made. And so he uses that in that a husband's to love his wife as Christ loved the church. He ain't talking about butterfly feelings. Feelings come and go. I thank God for love. The feelings of love, don't get me wrong. But yet he's talking about the sacrifice of love. The sincerity of love shows real love. And the same for us. Folks, getting up and giving a wonderful testimony is great, but that's just not it of showing your love for God. Amen. Give him the glory. Amen. Stand up, he said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. That is part of showing your love, but that's not all of showing your love for God. All of showing your love for God is that plus sacrifice. Amen. Hey, plus faithfulness. Hey, the Lord said, the greatest commandment is to love God with all our heart, mind, and soul, with everything in us. And to do that, we have to always be mindful of all he's done for us. Amen. And through the battles, Ephesus got cold. They got cold even though they showed up. And even though they separated, and even though they kept a standard, they didn't do it out of their love for God like they started. And folks, I have to check myself a lot of times. I have to check myself a lot of times. Why am I doing what I'm doing? Am I doing it because God, the only reason, just because God called me to do it? Well, that's a big reason, but yet that shouldn't hinge on me. Well, I got to do it. Oh, Lord, I got to do it. The love of Christ constraineth us.
That's right.
Folks, that when Paul said the love of Christ constraineth me, he's not talking about his love for Christ, but Christ's love for him. Knowing that Christ loved him, who was chief of sinners. Knowing Christ loves him that battled with his flesh in Romans 7. That constrained him, that compelled him, that kept him moving. And in Ephesus, they're moving, they're going, but yet it's just the motions of it. Now, I want to notice some things that the Lord told them that I want to share with you. In verse number 5, see, we have the compliments in verse 2 and 3. We have the complaint in verse 4. Then we have the conditions in verse number 5. Here's how you get back, he said. Number 1, he said, remember. Remember from whence thou art fallen. Remember. Now, there's 3 things there. Number 1, there's an evaluation. Remember from whence thou art fallen. Remember the events of your life from salvation to now and say, hey, this is where I veered. This is where I left my first love. Folks, the Lord said, I want you to say something happened. When a man and woman falls out of love, there's a reason for that. What happened? On your wedding day, you loved each other. And a few years, then something happened. And it caused you to leave it. So the same aspect goes for our walk with our Heavenly Father. Hey, remember from whence, what was it? A taste for the world? You got around carnality of others, and the next thing you know, that zeal and love for God, you begin to crave the world. Now, some folks ain't going to agree with this, and that's fine. But Christians, you can't get too close friendships with the unsaved. You cannot, I'm not saying be ugly, be rude. I'm not saying you can't be friends, but you can't be close friends. Because you can't show me one verse in the Bible when God's people ever yoked with the unsaved that they changed the unsaved. You can't show it to me. Israel's history proves to us that when they would try to yoke, now they was peaceful. Israel's supposed to be a peaceful people. But yet when they would yoke with the Moabites, Canaanites, when they'd yoke with those that didn't know God, the next thing you know, they left their first love and was living like they were. You remember that when that happened? I can see it. Folks, it's one thing, and you know, about social media, sometimes it'll show your heart. People get loose on there. Pictures they shouldn't put on there and videos they shouldn't put on there that shouldn't be for public view like that. And the next thing you know, you begin to see those that once had a zeal and a burden for the Lord, and you begin to see that first love, and it's because of evidence. And the Lord said, I want you to remember. There must be an evaluation. Remember the event. Remember the time. Remember what it was. It may be a taste for the world. It may be a hurt from others. Maybe other things, but I believe if you really evaluated and you're not where you once were and you don't have that love for God you once had, there's a reason for it. It's either a decision, a person, a place that you've veered to, and it's caused you to walk away from the love of God. Must be an evaluation, then a destination. He said, from whence? He said, remember therefore from whence. That's a place. I didn't preach that too, but remember from whence. That means where. Where? Folks, when I got saved, as a matter of fact, I'm coming up August of 83. How many years is that from 2024? Huh? Did somebody say 21?
41.
41. I think say, man. I'm glad I didn't try to add it up. 41 years coming up saved. 6 years later, God called me to preach. And what's sad, in that span of time, I left my first love. I remember the day I got saved. That weight of sin lifted. It's gone.
Amen.
The joy of the Lord. And I walked right in that schoolhouse and yoked with wrong people. And I went to school with folks, had no idea I was saved. I knew from whence I had fallen, and I fell hard. I fell. In church, every Sunday morning for Sunday school. I still believe in Sunday school. Get your lazy hinds end up and go to Sunday school. You ain't late for work. You give at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning to go to work. And other things, be here for Sunday school. Everybody all right? It's raining. I'm a little upset. But I fail. And I was in church every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Hey, I'm talking about in revival. I was in church, but my heart wasn't. You know why I wish for, I'm talking about saved now. You know why I wish that people would testify so the preacher wouldn't preach? Because I know he was going to get up my alley.
That's right.
And he did. And I rebelled. But before God could use me, you know what I had to do? I had to remember. I had to remember from whence I had fallen. See, there's evaluation, there's destination, there's realization. Thou art fallen. I'm not talking about falling from the grace of God and losing your salvation, but I'm talking about falling from our position or our desire, our love for God. He wants us to remember. Hey, remember. This is a deep comment. But do you realize, man, it smote my heart even now, Brother Jonathan. Do you realize if there's every time in your Christian life you were closer to God than you are right now, you're backslid? Do you understand in Ephesians 6, I'm going back to Ephesians now. We're talking about the church of Ephesus. When Paul talked about the whole armor, y'all know that. Most of us learned that young. The whole armor of God and what it represents spiritually, there's no armor for the back. The Lord wants us to continue moving forward. There's no armor for the back. It's all up front. It wants us to move forward. Do you understand that too many of us are leaving our first love and we're turning around, leaving ourselves wide open for the devil and his fiery darts? Do you see? Folks, you understand God's people? God has given us equipment, spiritual equipment, to guard our lives. But if we turn... leave our first love, turn, and go back into the world, we're leaving ourselves wide open for a fatal blow. Notice, secondly, he wanted us to think or to remember. Now, he said in verse 5, now that you remember and see it, you got to do something. You got to repent. I'm running a rabbit here, but I don't understand this crowd don't believe in repentance when it's all in the Bible. Nevertheless, Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and do what? Repent. Turn. That word repent is in the aorist imperative active. Aorist imperative denotes a command. Active voice is the action being accomplished by the subject of the verb. What do you mean? He's telling that church, you're the subject. Repent. Even though you got all these things and people see, well, at Ephesus, they stand for something. That Ephesus, they ain't backed down over the years. Well, that church of Ephesus, they stayed straight. And God knowing the whole time, they're just going through the motions and their heart's not in it. Boy, how many times has the Spirit of God rebuked me for the very thing? Boy, Preacher Tom McTurner, he's choir, but he stands right and all this stuff. And boy, if you let the flesh get a hold of it, your head will blow up. But the Holy Ghost say, but you're going through the motions right now. You're going through the, how many of us are going through the motions right now? How is our love for God? Folks, you know why I'm faithful to my wife? I love her. You know why I want to be there for her? Because I love her. Amen. And I believe every spouse in here would say that. Amen. The same goes, and it's in the book of Ephesians, the same goes. If we love God, we'll be there in our heart. Devotion, demeanor, our direction has to change. What has happened, Christian? The Spirit of God wants me to ask this again. What has happened, Christian, that's caused you to leave your first love? I could sit up here and name a bunch of stuff and hit some and not some, so I'm not going to do that. I'm asking you a question. I want you to remember. If you're saved and you're not, and you walking afar off, you know exactly that you're doing it. I know it, you know it. Does that make no sense? And us playing dumb about it. But what was it? What happened? What was the event? Was it something at church? Was it something in the home? Was it something on the job? Was it something in your own heart? You allowed Satan to get in and you believed some lie? So we must remember, we must repent, and then in verse 5, we must restart. Look at the verse again. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come on. I'll read that in a minute. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. We may have to start at the very beginning. What do you mean? What do you mean the very beginning? Back when you first got saved. You may have to start there. Go all the way back from once, from the day before you fell or left your first love. Go all the way back there and do the first works. The first works is what? Everything you did is because you loved the Lord. You had a zeal for God. It wasn't to impress. It wasn't to show off. It wasn't to get recognition. It wasn't to get meetings. It wasn't to get bookings. It wasn't to get seen or spoke about or bragged on. It was just because you loved Jesus. You got to go back there. Remember the day that everything you did was to honor Him because you loved Him. You got to go back there. You got to go back there. Restart. Swallow pride, get back on fire. But then there's repercussions. There's a remembrance, a repentance, a restarting, then there's repercussions. Look at the verse again. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. Listen, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Now you got to remember the candlesticks where the church was. The angel was the pastor. The angel of the church of Ephesus, right? That's talking about the pastor of the church. Now he said, if you don't repent, there's repercussions, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of his place. Now here we go. I will come unto thee quickly. Who's that? That's the Lord Jesus. He said, this is something I'll deal with personally. Punctual, he said, I'll do it quickly. So it's urgent you act fast. Then punishment. What does that mean, preacher? He removed thy candlestick out of its place. What does that mean? If you ain't careful, somebody else will be sitting where you sit. Somebody else will be serving in the place you serve. Somebody else will be singing where you sing. Somebody else will be shouting the way you used to shout. God take his hand off of you. People don't believe that. God, because God's long-suffering, you think God is overlooking our heart. He's not. Because God's merciful and long-suffering, we say, well, nothing's happened yet, so I guess I'm all right. Be careful. He told them, hey, I'm going to give you space to get it right, or I will. I will judge you. I'll chasten you. I'll remove your position. I'll remove your effect. I'll remove that testimony, and you'll be sitting on the shelf somewhere. Sitting on the shelf somewhere and watching somebody else do what God wants you to do to start with. God, help me. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. Help us to be right. Help us to get right. Help us to be mindful. We do what we do because we love God. We do what we do because He loves us. And we do, hey, we love Him because He first loved us. It doesn't matter if we get applauded. It doesn't matter if people understand. It doesn't matter if we get big offerings. We're doing it for Him. Amen. Not just going through the motions. Not just going through the motions. God help us. I know some preachers, bless their heart, they will print their outlines in book form and sell them to other preachers. And then fuss when they get used. In other words, give me your money, but don't use them. Now, I'm not talking about folks. God uses men to help us. If you don't believe that, then every commentary you got, give it to me. I understand. You know what did it say? A lot of people. Churn, but I make my own butter. What is that saying? Y'all don't know either? Okay. I make a lot of cows get my milk, but I churn my own butter. That's what it is. I'm over your head, ain't I, Miss Donna? The milk to make the butter might have come from four or five cows, but you churn it as one. Somebody say amen. Amen. Oh, I done got too primitive for Miss Donna. Amen. But what they want is, what doing that is not a ministry of love to help someone. It's now you pay me, but don't ever use it. That's where we at now. That's what it's about me. We've left our first love.
That's right.
We've left our first love. God help us. Church, I don't know. Another preventive maintenance, I guess. So maybe God's, this is more individual than collective. David said it like this, and I'm not saying y'all in sin like David was as far as adultery, murder, and all that stuff. Of course, I'm not saying that. But yet, he prayed a prayer that we all need to pray sometimes. Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation.
Amen. That's right.
Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Lord, help us. Let's all stand. Miss Lisa's coming.